curiosity. If Thomas seeing Camille changed anything, at least remembering the best memories of the weekend would be a better alternative to mourning our fake relationship when we got home.
Lise,
Thomas said, his eyes still shut. Yes?
The moment we land, we're undercover.
He looked at me.
It's important that any connections with Mick or Benny have no clue that we're federal agents.
I understand.
You're free to talk about anything from your life, except for your time at the Bureau. That will be interchanged by your undercover career as a replacement professor in cultural studies at the University of California, San Diego. We have all the records in place there.
I've packed my university credentials.
Good.
He closed his eyes again, settling into his seat.
You've researched the school, I assume.
Yes, and your family, and a few others who you might have mentioned if we were in an actual relationship. Shepley, America, Camille, the twins, your dad, Jim, his brother Jack, Jack's wife Deanna, and your mom. His lips curved up.
Diane, you can say her name.
Yes, sir. It was a natural thing to say, practically ingrained, and I didn't mean anything by it. But Thomas's eyes popped open, and his disappointment was hard to miss.
It's Thomas. Just Thomas.
He turned his shoulders to face me head on.
I have to admit, I thought this would be easier for you. I know it will be distracting to be in Chicago again, but are you sure you can do this? It's important.
I bit my lip. For the first time, I truly worried that I would slip, and not only put the whole operation at risk, but also put Thomas in danger of being at odds with his family for lying. But if I voiced my concerns, the Bureau would send another female agent to play the part, likely one out of the Chicago office. I took his hand in mine, tenderly rubbing my thumb against his skin. He looked down at our hands, and then back at me. "Do you trust me?" I asked. Thomas nodded, but I could tell he was uncertain. When we sat down, not even you will be able to tell the difference. Chapter 16.
Hey, dickhead,
one of the twins said, walking across baggage claim toward Thomas with open arms. He had just a dusting of hair on his head, and the skin around his honey brown eyes wrinkled when he smiled.
Taylor,
Thomas set down our luggage and tightly wrapped his arms around his brother. They were the same height, and both towered over me. At first glance, a passerby might mistake them for friends, but even under his peacoat, Taylor was just as ripped. The only difference was that Thomas had thicker muscles, making it obvious that he was the older brother. Other things tipped off that they were related. Taylor's skin tone was just a shade lighter, geography being the likely culprit. When Taylor hugged Thomas, I noticed that they also had identical strong, large hands. Being around all five of them at the same time would be incredibly daunting. Thomas patted his brother's back, almost too hard. I was glad he didn't greet me that way, but his brother wasn't fazed. They let go, and Taylor hit Thomas's arm, again, hard enough that it was audible.
"Damn, Tommy, you're a fucking diesel!"
Taylor made a show of squeezing Thomas's bicep. Thomas shook his head, and then they both turned to stare at me with matching grins.
"This,"
Thomas said, beaming,
"is Lise Lindy."
There was a reverence in his voice when he spoke, and he regarded me in the same way he'd held Camille on the pier in the picture. I felt precious to him, and I had to push on my toes to keep from leaning forward. Just a few weeks before, Thomas had said my name as if it were a swear word. Now, when he formed his mouth around it, I melted. Taylor gave me a bear hug, lifting me off the ground. When he set me down, he smirked.
"Sorry about keeping you up the other night. I had a rough week."
"At work?" I asked. His face turned red, and I inwardly celebrated at being able to make a Maddox brother blush. Thomas smirked.
"He got dumped."
The feeling of victory vanished, and guilt jarred me into silence. That didn't last long when I remembered the yelping and wall-banging.
"So you slept with..."
I almost slipped and said Agent Davies. I'm sorry, it's none of my business. Thomas couldn't hide his relief. Taylor took a long, deep breath and blew it out. I wasn't going to bring this up until later, but I was really messed up over it and really drunk. Phelan and I worked it out, and she'll be in St. Thomas, so I'd appreciate it if, you know.
Phelan is your girlfriend? I asked.
Taylor looked so deeply ashamed. It was hard to judge him. I shrugged. I never saw you. Anything I reported would be speculation anyway.
Damn it, Lise. Stop sounding like an agent.
Taylor lifted my tote and slipped it over his shoulder.
Thanks.
Could I just... I reached for the tote. Taylor leaned down to give me better access. I pulled out my sweater, and Thomas helped me slip it on. Taylor began walking, and Thomas reached back for my hand. I took his hand, and we followed his brother to the exit.
I drove around for half an hour before I found a parking spot in the main lot, Taylor said. It's spring break, so everyone is traveling, I guess.
When did you get into town? What are you driving? Thomas asked.
Suddenly, I didn't feel so bad. Thomas sounded more like FBI than I did.
I've been here since yesterday.
The moment Taylor stepped foot in the street, he pulled a box of cigarettes from his pocket and flipped one in his mouth. He dug into the pack again and pulled out a lighter. He lit the end and puffed until the paper and tobacco glowed orange. He blew out a puff of smoke.
Have you been to Chicago before, Lise?
I'm from here, actually. Taylor stopped abruptly.
Really?
Yes, I said, my voice rising an octave as if it were a question.
Huh. Millions of people in San Diego and Thomas bags a girl from Illinois.
Taylor, Jesus,
Thomas scolded.
Sorry,
Taylor said, turning to look at me. He had Thomas's same charming expression, one that would make the average girl swoon, and I was beginning to realize it was just a Maddox trait.
Is Phelan at Dad's?
Thomas asked.
Taylor shook his head. She had to work. She's meeting me in St. Thomas, and then we'll fly back together.
Did Trav pick you up from the airport, or did Trent? Thomas asked.
Honey, I said, squeezing Thomas's hand. Taylor laughed.
I'm used to it. He's always been like this.
He walked ahead, but Thomas's eyes softened, and he brought my hand up to his mouth for a tender, tiny kiss. Taylor nodded.
Shepley did. Travis is with Shepley all day, so I drove Trav's car to come get you. He doesn't know we're in town. He thinks he'll see us all in St. Thomas tomorrow, like the girls.
Are all the girls in St. Thomas? I asked. Thomas gave me a look. He knew exactly what I was asking.
Not all the girls. Just Abby and her bridesmaids.
We walked into the main lot, and Taylor pointed straight ahead.
I'm all the way down by the fence.
After hiking 100 yards or so in the cold wind, Taylor pulled a set of keys from his pocket and pressed a button. A silver Toyota Camry chirped a few cars ahead.
Am I the only one who thinks it's strange that Travis has a car now? Thomas said, staring at the vehicle.
A gold chain was looped around the rearview mirror and then separated into several strands. The ends were looped through small holes in white poker chips. They looked personalized, with black and white striped borders and red writing in the middle. Taylor shook his head, pushing another button to open the trunk.
You should see him driving it. He looks like a pussy.
Glad I'm selling mine, then, I said. Thomas laughed and then helped Taylor load our luggage. Thomas came around and opened the passenger door for me, but I shook my head.
It's okay. Sit in the front with your brother.
I opened the back door.
I'll sit back here.
Thomas leaned down to kiss my cheek, but then he noticed I was gawking into the back seat. He stared as well.
What the fuck is that?
Thomas asked.
Oh, it's Toto. I'm babysitting, he said, with a proud smile that showed off a deep dimple in one cheek.
Abby would probably kill me if she knew I left him in the car alone, but I was only gone for 10 minutes. It's still warm in the car.
The dog wiggled its entire back end, wearing a navy and gold striped sweater and standing on a plush wool pet bed.
I began, looking to Thomas. I've never had a dog.
Taylor laughed.
You don't have to take care of him. You just have to share a seat with him.
I have to strap him in, though. Abby is kind of a fruitcake about this dog.
Taylor opened the other side and secured Toto into the nylon harness. Toto must have been used to it because he sat still while Taylor snapped each clip into place. Thomas rolled the seat cover under until it revealed a hair-free section of the seat.
There you go, honey.
The corners of his mouth were trembling as he tried not to smile. I stuck out my tongue, and he shut the door. The seatbelt clicked when I pushed it into the buckle, and I heard Taylor laughing.
You pussy whip douche waffle.
Thomas gripped the handle.
She can hear you, fuckstick. My door is open.
Taylor opened his door and bent down, looking sheepish.
Sorry, Lise.
I shook my head, half amused and half in disbelief at their banter. It was as if we had fallen down a rabbit hole and landed in a frat house full of drunken toddlers. Suddenly, eat me had a whole new meaning. Thomas and Taylor buckled in, and then Taylor backed out of his spot. The drive to the bachelor party was full of colorful insults and updates on who was doing whom and who was working where. I noted that Trenton and Camille weren't mentioned at all. I wondered how that went over with the family, knowing she'd dated both Thomas and then Trenton, and how they felt about her, if they disliked her at all because Thomas didn't come home anymore to avoid causing awkwardness for them or further pain for himself. Shame washed over me when, for less than a second, I hoped they didn't like her at all. Taylor pulled into the driveway of the Rest Inn and then drove to the back side of the building. Twice as many cars were parked back there than in the front. Taylor turned off the ignition. Everyone is parking here, so we don't tip him off.
Caps? The bachelor party we've waited a year to throw Travis is going to be at Caps?
Thomas said, unimpressed.
Trent planned it. He's taking classes again and working full-time. Plus, he's on a budget. Don't bitch if you didn't offer to help, Taylor said.
I expected Thomas to lash out, but he accepted the scolding.
Touché.
What about the, I pointed to the dog looking up at me like he was going to lunge for my throat at any moment. Or maybe he just wanted a pat on the head. I couldn't be sure. A car pulled up next to us and a woman hopped out, leaving the engine running and the headlights on. She opened the back door and smiled at me.
Hey there.
She looked at Thomas and stopped smiling.
Hey, TJ. Reagan,
Thomas said.
I already loathed the nickname. Taylor didn't refer to him that way. The woman was exotically beautiful with her layers of chestnut hair, the wavy ends stopping at just above her waistline.
Reagan unclipped Toto's harness and then gathered his things.
Thanks, Ray, Taylor said. Abby said everyone else was going to the wedding.
No problem, she said, trying not to look at Thomas.
Cody can't wait. He's been wanting a dog so bad, but I don't know how people keep a puppy from being lonely while they go to work and school.
She looked down at Toto and touched her nose to his, and he licked her cheek. She giggled.
Dad offered doggy daycare, so we'll see. Maybe babysitting for a few days will help us decide.
Should I walk him? I don't want a mess in my car.
Taylor shook his head.
I just took him right before I picked them up.
You should be good until you get home. Did Abby tell you about the harness?
She told me.
In detail.
Reagan scratched the dog's head and then turned around, opening her back door. She let the dog walk around on the back seat while she buckled in the harness, and then he sat, astonishingly well-behaved, while she buckled him in again.
Okay, Reagan said. That's it. Good to see you, Taylor.
Her expression instantly lost all emotion when she looked at Thomas.
TJ.
She had to be an ex-girlfriend. Between the nickname and overly cool demeanor, he must have really burned her. She smiled at me again.
I'm Reagan.
Lise, nice to meet you, I said, completely unsettled by her 180. She hurried around the front of her car and then disappeared inside. The car pulled away, and Taylor, Thomas, and I sat in silence.
Okay, then, Taylor said. Let's party.
I don't understand this, Thomas said. He's not a bachelor.
Taylor patted his brother's shoulder, again so hard that it made me wince in reaction.
The whole point of this weekend is to celebrate what we missed out on because that little bastard eloped. And Tommy...
Taylor's grin faded.
I know. Trenton called me, Thomas said.
Taylor nodded, a touch of sadness in his eyes, and then he pulled on the door lever before setting off across the parking lot. When I opened my door, the cold air was shocking. Thomas rubbed my arms, breathing out a small cloud that was a stark contrast to the night surrounding us.
You can do this, I said, already shivering.
You've forgotten how cold it gets here? Already?
Shut up, I said, walking toward the building where Taylor had gone. Thomas jogged to catch up and took my hand.
What did you think of Taylor?
Your parents should be proud. You have exceptional genes.
I'm going to take that as a compliment and not a pass at my brother. You're mine for the weekend, remember?
I smirked, and he playfully jerked me against him. But then I realized how much truth was behind his lighthearted remark. We stopped at the door, and I watched Thomas psych himself up for whatever was on the other side. Without knowing what else to do, I rose up on the balls of my feet and kissed his cheek. He turned, catching me square on the lips. That one gesture began a chain reaction. Thomas's hands went straight up to my cheeks, gingerly cupping my face. When my mouth parted and his tongue slipped inside, I gripped his sports coat in my fists. The music inside suddenly became louder, and Thomas released me.
Tommy!
Another brother, obvious because he looked so much like Taylor, was holding open the door. He was wearing only a yellow nylon Speedo, barely big enough to conceal his man parts, and a matching wig. The hideous bright yellow acrylic on his head was a mess of curls and frizz, and he flirtatiously bounced it with one hand.
Like it? The brother said.
In small steps, he pirouetted, revealing that bit of fabric he wore wasn't a Speedo at all, but a thong. After getting an unexpected eyeful of his snow-white hindquarters, I looked away, embarrassed. Thomas looked him up and down and then breathed out a laugh.
What the hell are you wearing, Trenton?
A half-smile dimpled one of Trenton's cheeks, and he gripped Thomas's shoulder.
It's all part of the plan. Come in, he said, moving his hand in small circles toward himself. Come in.
Trenton held open the door as we walked inside. Cardboard renditions of breasts hung from the ceiling, and golden confetti in the shape of penises were sprinkled all over the floor and tables. A table sat in the corner, crowded with liquor bottles and buckets of ice filled with various brands of beer. Wine bottles were absent, but there was a cake in the shape of very large pink breasts. Thomas leaned down to speak into my ear.
I told you it wasn't a good idea for you to come here.
You think I'm offended? I work in a field that is predominantly male. I hear the word titties at least once a day. Thomas conceded, but he paused to look at his hand just after patting his little brother's shoulder. The body glitter covering Trenton's skin had rubbed off on Thomas's palm, and it shimmered under the disco ball above. Thomas was immediately horrified. I grabbed a napkin off a table and handed it to Thomas. Here.
Thanks, he said, half amused and half repulsed.
Thomas took my hand. The glittery wadded napkin was mashed between our palms as he pulled me through the crowd. Loud music assaulted my ears, the bass humming in my bones. Dozens of men were standing around, and there were just a handful of women. I instantly felt sick, wondering when I would run into Camille. Thomas's hand felt warm in mine, even with the buffer of the napkin. If he was nervous, though, it didn't show. He greeted several college-aged men as we crossed the room. When we reached the other side, Thomas held out his arms and hugged a portly man before kissing his cheek.
Hi, Dad. Well, hello there, son,
Jim Maddox said in a gruff voice.
It's about damn time you came home.
Lise, Thomas said. This is my dad, Jim Maddox. He was quite a bit shorter than Thomas, but he had the same sweetness in his eyes. Jim looked upon me with kindness and almost 30 years' worth of practiced patience from raising 5 Maddox boys. His short and sparse silver hair was now multiple colors from the party lights. Jim's hooded eyes brightened with realization.
This is your girl, Thomas?
Thomas kissed my cheek.
I keep telling her that, but she doesn't believe me.
Jim opened his arms wide.
Well, come here, Cupcake. Nice to meet you.
Jim didn't shake my hand. He pulled me into a full-on hug and squeezed me tight. When he released me, Thomas hooked his arm around my shoulders, much more cheerful to be amid his family than I'd expected. Thomas pulled me into his side.
Lisa's a professor at the University of California, Dad. She's brilliant. Does she put up with your shit? Jim asked, trying to speak over the music.
Thomas shook his head.
Not at all.
Jim laughed out loud.
Then she's a keeper.
That's what I keep telling him, but he doesn't believe me, I said, nudging Thomas with my elbow. Jim laughed again.
Professor of what, sis?
Cultural studies, I said, feeling a bit guilty for yelling at him. Jim chuckled.
She must be brilliant. I haven't a clue what in the Sam hell that means.
He put his fist to his mouth and coughed.
You want a water, Dad?
Jim nodded.
Thank you, son.
Thomas kissed my cheek and then left us alone to track down the water. I wasn't sure if I'd ever get used to his lips on my skin. I hoped I never would.
How long have you worked for the college? Jim asked.
This is my first semester, I said. He nodded.
Is that a nice campus out there?
Yes, I smiled.
You like San Diego? He asked.
Love it. I lived in Chicago before. San Diego's weather is preferable.
You're from Illinois originally? Jim asked, surprised.
I am, I said, trying to mouth the words precisely so that I wouldn't have to yell so loud.
Huh, he said,
with a chuckle.
I sure wish Tommy lived closer. But he never really belonged here. I think he's happier out there,
he said, nodding as if in agreement with himself.
How did you two meet?
I moved into his building, I said, noticing a woman speaking to Thomas by the beverage table. His hands were in his pockets, and he was staring at the floor. I could tell that he was being purposefully stoic. Thomas nodded, and she nodded. Then she threw her arms around him. I couldn't see her face, but I could see his, and as he held her, his pain could be felt from where I stood. The same deep ache from before burned in my chest, and my shoulders pulled in. I crossed my arms over my midsection to camouflage the involuntary motion.
So, you and Thomas, this is new?
Jim asked. Relatively new, I said, still staring at Thomas and the woman clinging to him. Trenton was no longer dancing. He was watching them, too, almost exactly parallel from me. Is the woman with Thomas... Is that Camille? Jim hesitated, but then he nodded.
Yes, she is.
After a full minute, Thomas and Camille were still wrapped in each other's arms. Jim cleared his throat and spoke again.
Well, I've never seen my boy so happy as when he introduced me to you. Even if it is new, it's in the present, unlike other things that are in the past.
I shot a small smile in Jim's direction, and he pulled me to his side with a squeeze.
If Tommy hasn't told you that yet, he should.
I nodded, trying to process the dozens of emotions swirling within me at the same time. Feeling such hurt was quite surprising for a girl who was happily married to her job. If I didn't need Thomas, my heart didn't know it. Chapter 17. Thomas's eyes popped open and he looked directly at me. He released Camille, and without telling her goodbye or even giving her a second look, he walked past her, sweeping up a bottle of water on his way to where Jim and I stood.
Did you interrogate her sufficiently while I was gone, Dad?
Thomas asked.
Not as well as you would have, I'm sure.
Jim turned to me.
Thomas should have been a detective.
Despite the uncomfortable proximity to the truth, I held a smile. Thomas had a strange expression as well, but his features smoothed.
Are you having a good time, honey?
Please tell me that was goodbye, I said. I didn't try to keep Jim from hearing. It was an honest request, one that I could ask and still keep our cover intact. Thomas gently took me by the arm and brought me to an unoccupied corner of the room.
I didn't know she was going to do that. I'm sorry. I felt my expression crumble. I wish you could have seen that through my eyes, and then hear you say she's in the past with my ears.
She was apologizing, Lise. What was I supposed to do?
I don't know. Not look heartbroken? He stared at me, speechless. I rolled my eyes and pulled on his hand. Come on, let's get back to the party. He pulled away from me.
I am, Lise. I am heartbroken. What happened is fucking sad.
Great, let's go, I said,
my words dripping with false excitement and sarcasm. I shouldered past him, but he grabbed my wrist and pulled me against him. He held my hand near his cheek and then turned to kiss my palm, closing his eyes.
It's sad because it's over, he said, against my hand, his breath warm on my skin.
He turned and looked down into my eyes.
It's sad because I made a choice that has changed my relationship with my brother forever. I hurt her and Trenton and myself. The worst part is that I thought it was justified. But now, I'm afraid it was all for nothing.
What do you mean? I asked, eyeing him warily.
I loved Camille. But not like this. Not like you.
I glanced around. Stop it, Thomas. No one can hear you.
Can you?
He asked. When I didn't respond, he let go of my hand.
What? What can I say to convince you?
Keep telling me how sad you are to lose Camille. I'm sure that will eventually work.
You've only heard me say that it's sad. You ignored the part about it being over.
It's not over, I said, laughing once. It's never going to be over.
You said it yourself.
You'll always love her.
He pointed to the other side of the room.
What you saw over there? That was goodbye. She's marrying my brother.
I also saw you in pain about both.
Yes, it's painful. What do you want from me, Lise?
I want you not to love her anymore.
The music was in between songs, and everyone turned toward the corner where Thomas and I stood. Camille and Trenton were talking to another couple, and Camille looked just as humiliated as I was. She tucked her hair behind her ear, and then Trenton guided her to the cake table. Oh my God. I whispered, covering my eyes.
Thomas glanced behind us and then pulled my hand down, shaking his head. It's okay. Don't worry about them.
I don't act this way. This isn't like me. He puffed out a breath of relief.
I can relate. We tend to have that effect on each other.
Not only was I not myself around Thomas, but he also made me feel things I couldn't control. Anger boiled inside of me. If he knew me at all, he would understand that erratic feelings weren't acceptable. Being with Jackson, I could control my feelings. Yelling at him during a party would never have crossed my mind. He would have been shocked to see me lashing out. When it came to Thomas, I was all over the place. My head was pulling me in one direction, and Thomas and my heart were pulling me in another. Unpredictable outcomes scared the hell out of me. It was time to bridle my emotions. Nothing was more frightening than being manipulated by my own heart. When the crowd turned away, I forced a smile, lifting my chin to meet Thomas's eyes. Thomas's eyebrows pulled in.
What is that? What's the sudden smile about?
I walked past him.
Told you that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Thomas followed me back to the party. He stood behind me and then wrapped his arms around my middle, resting his cheek in the crook of my neck. When I didn't respond, he touched his lips to my ear.
The lines are beginning to blur, Lise. Was that just for show?
I'm working. Aren't you? A lump formed in my throat. It was the best lie I'd ever told.
Wow,
he said, before releasing me. And then walking away. Thomas stood between Jim and another man. I couldn't be certain, but the man had to be Thomas's uncle. He looked nearly identical to Jim. Clearly, Maddox's DNA was dominant, like their family, and their men. Someone turned down the music and then switched off the lights. It was pitch dark, and I was standing alone. The door opened, and after a few seconds of quiet, a man said from the doorway, The lights flipped on to reveal Travis, and who must have been Shepley, standing at the door, squinting as their eyes adjusted to the light. Taylor and his twin threw penis confetti into Travis's face, and everyone cheered.
"Congrats, cocktip! Pussy! Way to go, mad dog!"
I studied Travis as he greeted everyone. A lot of shoulder patting, man hugs, and rough head rubbing commenced while they all clapped and hooted. A still scantily clad and shiny Trenton popped and locked, bumped and grinded to the music. Thomas and Jim shook their heads at the sight. Camille was standing in front of the crowd surrounding Trenton, encouraging him and laughing uncontrollably. Irrational anger came over me. 10 minutes before, she had been draped over Thomas, lamenting over their breakup. I didn't like her. I couldn't imagine why not one, but two Maddox men did. When the song was over, Trenton walked over to Camille and lifted her in his arms, twirling her around in the air. When he lowered her to her feet, she crossed her arms at the back of Trenton's neck and kissed him. Another song boomed through the speakers, and the few other women present pulled their men onto the modest dance floor. Some of the men joined them, mostly just being silly. Thomas remained sandwiched between his father and uncle, glancing at me only once in a while. He was angry with me, and he had every right to be. I was giving myself whiplash. I couldn't imagine how he must be feeling. There I stood, glaring at Camille every time she drew attention to herself, and I hadn't treated Thomas much better. He wasn't just playing a part. He'd expressed interest in me before we had left for the assignment. If anything, I was worse than Camille. At least she didn't jerk around his heart, knowing she was already dealing with broken pieces. The responsible thing to do would be to keep it professional. One day I was going to have to choose between Thomas and the Bureau, and I would choose the job. But every time we were alone, every time he touched me, and what I'd felt when I saw him with Camille, I knew that my feelings had become too complex to ignore. Val had told me to be straight with Thomas, but he wouldn't accept it. My cheeks flushed. I was a strong and intelligent woman. I had broken down the problem, determined the solution, made a decision, and communicated that decision. I sighed. Then I'd yelled at him in front of nearly all his friends and family. He'd looked at me as if I were crazy. Am I? He'd told me the picture was gone, but taking a picture off a table wouldn't change feelings. Jim had said Camille was in Thomas's past, and that was true, but I couldn't reconcile that Thomas missed her or that he still loved her. What I really needed was Thomas's closure, and that solution was reliant on him. Closure wasn't an unreasonable request, but it might be an impossible one. It wasn't up to me. It was up to Thomas. For the first time in my adult life, I had allowed myself to be involved in a situation that I couldn't control or handle, and my stomach felt sick. I glanced over at Thomas, and once again I caught him looking at me. I finally walked over to him, and his shoulders relaxed. I slipped my hands under his arms and curved them behind his back, pressing my cheek against his lower chest. "Thomas." He touched his lips to my hair.
"Yes."
Someone turned down the music, and Trenton walked over to Camille. He took both of her hands, pulling her to the center of the room. He knelt onto one knee and held up a small box. Thomas pulled away from me and shoved his hands into his pockets, fidgeting for a second or two. Then he leaned down to whisper in my ear,
"I'm sorry."
He took a few steps backward and then quietly walked along the back wall, creeping behind the crowd until he reached the exit. After one last glance at Camille as she covered her mouth and nodded her head, Thomas pushed open the glass door just enough to slip outside. Jim looked down and then over at me.
"That would be tough for any man."
Everyone cheered, and Trenton stood up to hug his new fiancé. The crowd closed in around them.
"Tough for you too, I'd imagine,"
Jim said again, gently patting me on the shoulder. I swallowed hard and looked to the glass door. "We'll see you at the house, Jim. It was so nice to meet you." I hugged Thomas's father and then hurried out to the parking lot.
My sweater did little to stave off the Midwest's early spring temperatures. I wrapped the knitted fabric tighter around me and crossed my arms, walking along the sidewalk to the back of the hotel. "Thomas," I called. A drunk man appeared from behind a beater Chevrolet that was older than I was. He wiped the vomit from his mouth and stumbled toward me.
"Who are you?"
he asked. His words melded together. I stopped and held out my hand. "I'm trying to get to my car. Please step aside."
"Are you staying here, sweet thing?"
I raised an eyebrow. His beer gut and stained shirt didn't scream catch, but he clearly didn't see it that way.
"I'm Joe," he said, before burping.
He smiled, his eyes half closed. "It's nice to meet you, Joe. I can see you've had a lot to drink, so please don't touch me. I just want to get to my vehicle."
"Which is yours?"
he asked, turning toward the lot. "That one," I pointed in a vague direction, knowing it wouldn't matter anyway.
"Want to dance?"
he asked, stumbling to whatever music was in his head. "No, thank you." I sidestepped, but he caught my sweater in his fingers.
"We're going so fast."
I sighed. "I don't want to hurt you. Please let go." He tugged on me once, and I gripped his fingers and pulled them back. He cried out in pain and then fell to his knees.
"Okay, okay," he pleaded.
I let go of his hand. The next time a woman tells you not to touch her, you listen. If you only remember one thing from tonight, I poked his temple and pushed his head. Remember that.
"Yes, ma'am,"
he said, his breath puffing out in white wisps. Instead of attempting to get up, he got more comfortable on the ground. I groaned.
"You can't sleep here, Joe. It's cold. Get up and go inside."
He looked up at me with sad eyes.
"I don't remember where my room is."
"Oh, shit, Joe. You're not harassing this pretty lady, are you?" Trenton said, taking off his coat. He draped it over Joe's shoulders and then helped him to stand, bearing most of his weight.
"She tried to break my damn hand," Joe said.
"You probably deserved it, you drunk fucker," he said to Joe. He looked to me.
"You all right?"
I nodded. Joe's knees gave way, and Trenton grunted as he tossed the large man over his shoulder.
"Your lease, right?"
I nodded again. I was extremely uncomfortable with speaking to Trenton, although I wasn't sure why.
"Dad said Thomas came out here. Is he okay?" "What are you doing out here?"
Thomas snapped. He wasn't speaking to me, but to his brother.
"I came to check on you," Trenton said, shifting his weight. "What the hell is going on out here?" Taylor said, staring at Joe hanging over Trenton's shoulder.
He sucked on his cigarette and exhaled, the thick smoke swirling into the air.
"She tried to break my damn hand," Joe said.
Taylor chuckled.
"Then don't put your hands on her, dumbass."
Thomas looked down at me.
"What happened?"
I shrugged. "He touched me." Taylor doubled over, his whole body trembling with roaring laughter. Tyler appeared from behind Trenton and Taylor, lighting his own cigarette.
"This looks like the real party."
Taylor smiled.
"Did Lise throw you down the first time you touched her, too?"
Thomas frowned.
"Shut the fuck up, Taylor. We're ready to go."
Tyler's eyebrows shot up, and he laughed once.
"Tommy's Asian beauty knows karate."
He chopped at the air a few times and then kicked forward. Thomas took a step toward him, but I touched his chest. Tyler took a step back and held up his hands, palms out.
"Just kidding, Tommy. Fuck."
All four of Thomas's younger brothers looked very much alike, but it was unsettling how identical the twins were. They even had matching tattoos. Standing next to each other, I couldn't tell who was who until Thomas said their names.
"Well, Joe here is a fat bastard," Trenton said. "Put me down," Joe groaned.
Trenton hopped, readjusting Joe on his shoulder.
"I'm going to take him to the lobby before he freezes to death."
"You need help?" Thomas asked. "How's the arm?"
"A little stiff," Trenton said. He winked.
"I barely notice when I'm drunk." "See you tomorrow," Thomas said.
"Love you, bro," Trenton said, turning for the entrance. Thomas's eyebrows pulled in, and he looked down. I touched his arm.
We're ready, I said to Taylor.
Okay, Taylor said, no problem. Travis already left. What a piss biscuit he's turned into.
We returned to the car and Taylor drove through town, turning down various streets until he turned into a narrow gravel drive. The headlights illuminated a modest white house with a red porch and a dirty screen door. Thomas opened my door, but he didn't take my hand. He took all the luggage from Taylor and made his way to the house, glancing back just once to make sure I was following. Dad and Trent cleaned up everyone's rooms for the occasion. You can sleep in your old room.
Great, Thomas said.
The screen door complained when Taylor pulled it open, and then he turned the knob to the front door, walking through.
Your dad doesn't lock his door when he leaves?
I asked as we followed Taylor into the house. Thomas shook his head.
This isn't Chicago.
I followed him inside. The furniture was as worn as the carpet, and the air carried a hint of mildew, bacon grease, and stale smoke.
Good night, Taylor said. My flight is early. Is yours?
Thomas nodded. Taylor hugged him.
See you in the morning, then. I'll probably leave around 5. Trav said I could take the Camry since he's riding with Shep.
He began to walk down the hall and then turned around.
Hey, Tommy?
Yeah,
Thomas said.
It's cool seeing you twice in 1 year.
He disappeared down the hall, and Thomas looked down and sighed.
I'm sure he didn't mean to make you feel...
I know,
Thomas said. He looked up at the ceiling.
We're up there.
I nodded, following Thomas up the wooden stairs. They creaked under our feet, singing a bittersweet song of Thomas's return. Faded pictures hung on the walls, all featuring the same platinum-haired boy I'd seen in Thomas's condo. Then I saw a picture of his parents, and I gasped. It looked like Travis sitting with a female version of Thomas. He had his mother's eyes. He bore all her features but her jaw and long hair. She was stunning, so young and full of life. It was hard to imagine her being so ill. Thomas turned into a doorway and then placed our luggage in a corner of the room. The iron-framed full-sized bed was pushed into the far corner, and still, the wooden dresser barely fit. Trophies from Thomas's high school years sat atop shelves on the walls, and pictures from his baseball and football teams hung next to them.
Thomas, we need to talk, I began. I'm going to take a shower. You want to go first?
I shook my head. The zipper of Thomas's suitcase made a high-pitched noise as he opened it. He pulled out a toothbrush, toothpaste, a razor, shaving cream, a pair of heather gray boxer briefs, and navy basketball shorts. Without a word, he disappeared into the bathroom and began to close the door, but it was off the track. He sighed and set his things on the sink, and then he jostled the door until it sat straight in the doorway.
You need some help? I asked.
Nope, he said, before sliding the door closed. I sat on the bed in a huff, unsure how to fix the mess I'd made. On one hand, it was fairly simple. We worked together, we were on assignment. Worrying about feelings seemed asinine. On the other hand, the feelings were there. The next couple of days would be tough on Thomas. I'd pretty much stomped all over his heart because I was angry about another woman, who had, coincidentally, also stomped all over his heart. I stood up and took off my sweater, staring at the broken door. From beneath the space at the bottom, light glowed into the dark bedroom and the pipes whined as the shower spit and then shot out water in a steady stream. The shower door opened and then closed. I shut the bedroom door and then pressed my palm and ear against the sliding door. Thomas? He didn't answer. I slid open the door, and a gust of steam poured out. Thomas, I said again, into the foot-wide space. He still didn't answer. I slid the door open all the way and then closed it behind me. The shower door was fogged over, only showing Thomas's vague form. The sink was in desperate need of a good scrub with limescale remover, and the peach linoleum was peeling up at the corners. It wasn't for show, I said. I was jealous and angry, but mostly, I'm just scared. He still didn't answer, instead scrubbing his face with soap. I didn't enjoy being with Jackson. Almost from the beginning, I knew this was different. I can see it and feel it. but it still doesn't seem right to me to jump back into something when I've been looking forward to being alone for so long.
Still nothing.
But if I do, I need you to be totally over her. I don't think that's entirely unreasonable. Do you?
I waited.
Can you hear me?
Silence.
I sighed and leaned against the vanity with its chipped formica and rusted drawer pulls. The faucet leaked, and over the years, a black drip stain had formed just above the chrome ring of the drain. The tip of my thumb was at my mouth, and I nibbled at the skin around my nail, trying to think of what to say next. Maybe he didn't want to hear anything I had to say. I stood up and slipped my blouse over my head, and then pulled off my tall boots. It took some effort to remove my skinny denim jeans, but the socks slipped off without effort. Thank God I'd thought to shave that morning. The long black strands of my hair fell over my breasts, so I didn't feel quite so vulnerable, and I took the two steps toward the shower door. I tugged once, and then again. By the time it opened, Thomas was facing my direction with his eyes closed, lathered shampoo running down his face. He wiped the soap away and glanced at me, and then he quickly rinsed his face and looked again, his eyebrows pushing toward his hairline. I shut the door behind me.
"Are you listening?"
Thomas lifted his chin.
"I'll start listening when you do."
"We can talk later," I said, closing my eyes and pulling his face down so that my lips could reach his. He grabbed my wrists and held me at bay.
"I realize what our predicament is this weekend, but I'm done playing games with you. I don't want to pretend anymore. I just want you."
"I'm standing right in front of you." I pressed my body against his, feeling his impressive erection against my stomach. His breath faltered and he closed his eyes, the water pouring from his hair down to his face before falling from his nose and chin.
"But will you stay?"
He looked down at me. I frowned.
"Thomas,
will you stay?"
he asked again, emphasizing the last word.
"Define stay."
He took a step back, the spell gone. He reached over and pulled the lever down, and ice-cold water began to pour over us. Thomas flattened his palms against the wall under the spout, letting his head fall, and I squealed, clawing at the door to escape. I pushed out and slipped, falling to the floor onto my knees. Thomas burst out of the door, reaching for me.
"Christ, are you okay?"
"Yeah," I said, rubbing my elbow and then my knee. Thomas grabbed a towel that was folded over the top of the shower door and draped it over my shoulders, and then he ripped another off the rack and wrapped it around his waist. He shook his head.
"Are you hurt?"
"Just my pride." Thomas sighed and then lifted my arm to take a look.
"Your knee?" he asked, leaning down. I held out the one that had crashed against the floor, and he inspected it. "I am a grade-A fuck-up," he said, rubbing his wet hair.
"I'm not giving you much to work with." I let my cheeks fill with air, and then I exhaled. After several seconds of uncomfortable silence, I left him alone in the bathroom to retrieve my toothbrush, and then I returned. Thomas unscrewed the cap off the tube of toothpaste. I held out my brush, and he squeezed out a short line onto the bristles and then did the same for his. We held our brushes under the water and then stared into the mirror of his high school bathroom, wearing thin floral towels while brushing our teeth together over the same sink. It felt like such a domestic thing to do, and at the same time, the past 10 minutes had been so awkward that it was hard to enjoy it. I leaned over to rinse and spit, and Thomas did the same. He chuckled and used his finger to wipe a speck of toothpaste from my chin, and then he gently cupped his hands on my cheeks. His smile faded.
"I admire your ability to scrutinize every detail. But why do you have to dissect this?"
he asked, unhappy.
"Why can't we just try?"
"You're not over Camille, Thomas. You made that clear tonight. And you just asked me to promise to stay with you in San Diego. That's a promise we both know I can't and won't keep. It's completely reasonable for you to want something stable after what happened to you, but I can't promise that I won't continue to work my way up the federal ladder."
"What if I give you assurances?"
he asked. "Like what? And don't tell me it's love. We met last month."
"We're not like everyone else, Lise. We spend every day together, sometimes all day, and then evenings and even weekends. If we're keeping track,
We've put in the time.
I thought about that for a moment.
Stop overthinking it. You want assurances? This is not guesswork for me, Lise. I loved someone before, but the way I feel about you, it's that feeling 1,000 times over.
I have feelings for you, too.
But feelings aren't always enough.
I chewed on my lip. I'm worried that if we don't work out, the job will be miserable. That's impossible for me to accept, Thomas, because I love my job.
I love mine, too. But being with you is worth the risk.
You don't know that.
I know that it won't be boring. I know that I'll never begrudge you a promotion, even if it'll take you elsewhere. Maybe I'll get tired of San Diego. I like D.C.
You would come to D.C., I deadpanned.
That's a long time from now.
That is why I can't promise that I'll stay.
I don't want you to promise to stay in San Diego. I just want you to stay with me.
I swallowed. Oh, then I could probably do that, I said, my eyes flitting around the tiny room.
Pretending is over, Lise.
Thomas took a step toward me and gently pulled at my towel. It fell to the floor, and then he tugged at his own.
Say it, he said, his voice low and controlled.
He cupped each side of my face in his hands. He leaned down, but stopped less than an inch from my lips. Okay, I whispered.
Okay, what?
He pressed his mouth against mine. His fingers tangled in my hair as he jerked me against his body. He took a step, guiding me backward, until my back collided with the wall. I gasped, and his tongue slid through my parted lips, brushing gently against mine as if he were searching for the answer. He pulled away, leaving me breathless and craving another taste. Okay, I breathed, unashamed of the begging in my voice. We can stop pretending. He lifted me, and I wrapped my legs around his backside. He held me just high enough that I could feel the tip of his hardness against the tender pink skin between my thighs. I sank my fingers into his shoulders, bracing myself for the same overwhelming feeling he'd sent through my body the first night we met. Just lowering me another inch, he would satisfy every fantasy I'd had for the last 3 weeks. But he didn't move. He was waiting for something. I touched my lips to his ear, biting my lip at the anticipation of what I was about to say and what it would lead to. We can stop pretending, sir. Thomas relaxed, and then in a slow, controlled movement, he lowered my body down. I moaned the moment he entered me, letting the soft hum escape my lips until his length completely filled me. I pressed my cheek hard against his as my nails bit into the flesh of his thick shoulders. With little effort, he lifted me and then pulled me down again, groaning in reaction. Fuck, he said simply, his eyes closed. Each thrust became more rhythmic, sending flashes of the most wonderful, overwhelming pain through every nerve in my body. He struggled to keep quiet, his muffled grunts getting louder with each passing minute. We've gotta... Damn it, he breathed. Don't stop, I begged.
You feel too good, he whispered, setting me down on my feet. Before I could protest, he flipped me around and pushed me toward the wall. My chest and palms were flat against the paint, and I grinned. Thomas put his hand on my cheek, and I turned just enough to kiss his fingertips. Then I opened my mouth, letting him slip a finger inside. I pulled back, sucking lightly, and he sighed. He gently ran his thumb down the line of my jaw, my neck, and then my shoulder. From there, he slid his palm down the length of my spine, over the curves of my backside, and then settled between my thighs. He put gentle pressure on one of my legs, guiding it away from the other. I gladly spread them apart and then placed my palms on the wall, bracing myself as he yanked my hips back. With his hand, he slowly guided himself inside me. He didn't pull out. Instead, he moved his hips in a subtle circular motion, savoring the warm sensation of my embrace. He gripped my hip with one hand and reached around with the other, touching the most sensitive parts of my skin. He moved his middle finger in small circles,
and then he pulled back his hips. He groaned as he rocked against me. I bent over, pressing my backside against him, allowing Thomas to sink himself as deeply as he wanted. With every thrust, his thick fingers dug into my thighs, guiding me to the very edge of pleasure. I bit my lip, forbidding myself to cry out, and just as a thin sheen of sweat formed on my skin, we tumbled over together. Chapter 18. I reached across Thomas's bare chest to turn off the obnoxious noise coming from his cell phone. The movement made evident the soreness and swelling between my legs from the hours of sex the night before, and I rested my head on his rippled abdomen, smiling at the memories flashing in my mind. Thomas stretched, his legs too long for the bed. The sheets rustled as he stirred, and I ran my fingers over his soft skin, surrounded by the trinkets and trophies of his childhood. With sleepy eyes, he took one look at me and smiled. He tugged on me until we were face to face, and then he wrapped both of his arms around my shoulders, burying his face in the crook of my neck. I kissed the crown of his head and hummed in total satisfaction. No one had ever made me feel so right about being so wrong. "Morning, baby," Thomas said, his voice sounding strained and hoarse. He rubbed his feet on mine as he carefully raked my ratted hair away from my face. "I probably shouldn't assume, but being a woman married to her career..."
"Yes," I said. "Birth control is in place and good for 5 years."
He kissed my cheek. "Just checking. I might have gotten a little carried away last night."
"I'm not complaining," I said, with a tired smile. "Flight leaves in 4 hours." He stretched again, still keeping one arm hooked around my neck. He pulled me to him and kissed my temple.
"If this weekend wasn't so important, I'd make you stay in bed with me all day."
"We can do that when we get back to San Diego." He squeezed me.
"Does that mean you're finally available?"
I hugged him back. "No," I said, smiling at his reaction. "I'm with someone." Thomas pressed his head back against his pillow to look me in the eyes.
"Last night, I realized when I was talking to Camille, those relationships didn't work out, but it wasn't because of the job. It's because we weren't invested enough in them."
I eyed him, feigning suspicion. "Are you invested in me?"
"I'm pleading the fifth, but only in the interest of not scaring you off with the answer."
I shook my head and smiled. He touched my hair.
"I like this look on you."
I rolled my eyes. "Shut up."
"I'm completely serious. I've never seen you so beautiful. And that's saying something. The first time I saw you, I mean, the very moment I looked over from my bar stool and saw your face, I panicked, wondering how in the hell I was going to get your attention and then worrying how I would keep it when I did."
"You got my attention at work the next day." Thomas looked ashamed.
"I don't get surprised very often. I was probably more of an asshole than normal, trying to keep everyone from knowing, and then when it hit me that I'd put you in danger."
I touched his lips with my finger, and then I realized I could kiss them if I wanted. Immediately, I took the opportunity. They were soft and warm, and I had trouble pulling away. But even when I tried, Thomas placed his hand on my cheek, holding me while he caressed my tongue with his. My God, he was perfection. I silently scolded myself for waiting that long to allow myself to enjoy him. When he finally released me, he only pulled away a few centimeters, brushing his lips against mine.
"I've always been a morning person, but I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this bed with you in it." "Tommy," Jim yelled from downstairs, "get your ass down here and make your mom's omelets."
Thomas blinked.
"The idea just came to me."
I pulled on a loose-fitting tank top and maxi skirt. Thomas pulled a white V-neck t-shirt over his head and then slipped on a pair of khaki cargo shorts. He rubbed his hands together.
"Holy shit, it's cold," he said, sliding his arms into his sport coat. "But I don't want to sweat my ass off when we get off the plane in Charlotte Amalie."
"I had the same idea," I said, pulling on my sweater.
"I might have a..."
He opened his closet and pulled something off a hanger before tossing it to me.
I held up the gray hoodie with navy writing that read ESU Bulldogs. It was a men's medium.
When did you wear this, as a toddler?
As a college freshman. You can have it.
I took off my sweater and pulled his hoodie over my head, feeling